Blog Talk Radio.
Because it's time to awaken consciousness. It's time for a paradigm shift. It's time for love, empowerment, and for you to create your ideal life. It's time to deploy the Life Excel, the Awakened Life Excel process. How does that grab you? This show is for freedom-loving souls, and we are going to be discussing entrepreneurship, wellness, holistic health, fitness, and many more life-enhancing things. And today's topic is going to be change, change, not chains, change. And I believe Nancy's with us. Nance, are you on? I know you got a hot mic there, girly girl. Are you on? I don't hear you. Nancy?
Oh,
there you okay, are.
Now,
there.
You unmuted me, so now it's better.
I don't know if I muted you. I just think it just took some time for the studio to get geared up today. How are you doing?
It said you're unmuted. That's what it just said. It was weird.
How are you doing on this fine Monday?
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
Fantastic. Hey, did you get a chance to listen to last week's show when we were talking about certain principles of success?
No, I've been kind of running around like a chicken. So I did not get to listen to that, but I'm sure it was quite informative.
Yeah, well, it's up and online, and anybody can listen to the show. It's available 24/7 at Blog Talk Radio, Awaken to Empowerment. And you could actually go on to Blog Talk Radio and be a subscriber to the show. So anyway, it's a good thing that we're going to be talking about is change, because some people are really good at coping with changes, and they face them with a great perspective, and they have trust in their own capacities and capabilities, and they look at changes as growth and improving themselves. And I don't think anybody can talk about change better than you, Nance. You're pretty good with changing things.
Yeah, I would have to pat myself on the back about rolling with the changes. That's pretty much, that's my theme song, and I'm good with that. The changes are for the good, and even if it's not all good, at least there's something, I can always figure out something that I've learned from that experience and you know, then be able to move forward with more discernment, knowledge, and ability to know what's going to work for me and what is definitely not.
Right, right. Well, you know, I mean, and you know what? Here's the thing, too. A lot of people are scared to step out into the entrepreneurship world. And that's the thing I love about direct selling and network marketing, because you could do a chicken entrepreneurship, and network marketing gives you the opportunity for this great change and this independent and free lifestyle. So it's a great thing, and you know, you just got to go ahead and constantly, like you said, move forward. You've had a lot of changes, right?
Oh yeah.
You know, learning how to set goals. Sorry.
Oh, I was gonna say yeah, and I keep having them, because I guess because I'm open to it and I keep trying to evolve with it, and learn from it. But when I'd like to address when you were saying about the chicken way of entrepreneurship, I think that's even how I started a lot of it, besides my daycare business was just jumping in. But any of the other stuff that in sales realm, the chicken way is excellent, because if you pick a good mentor in your company, there's systems already in place. When you're doing straight entrepreneurship, you have to develop the systems. So
right,
now
right.
I think what I'm choosing to do because of knowing that is these entrepreneurs that I'm working with now actually do have all their systems in place, as opposed to helping people or maybe even, you know, trying to throttle them into having systems in place, because it's really important to have that structure, that basic structure. Otherwise, you know, you're kind of all over the place and you're spinning your wheels a lot of the time. So I'm enjoying the parts of their, as I call it, anal retentiveness, but it's really just paying attention to all the details. So what I'm learning from them is that they built these systems and it's working for them. And so now, you know, it's easier just to follow along with their systems than trying to reinvent things completely.
Right, instead of recreating the wheel, right?
Exactly.
I mean, that's a crazy
thing.
Long
as it's working. Right. If something isn't working, you should be able to bring that to someone's attention and say, hey, this isn't really working either for me, or how is this really serving, you know, the whole company? Maybe there does need to be some adjustments made, depending on when you're coming on board with somebody. But this new client, I mean, you know, he must be doing something right. He has, you know, his account on eBay that I saw was $28,000 on eBay. So, I mean, must be doing something right.
So yeah. Somebody's doing an eBay business. Well, you know, you know what? We're going back to change, and that's the topic I'd like to stick on to today, because
mm-hmm.
a lot of people are fearful of change, and you're not. And you started another gig today, took on a new client, so you're a good one with change. You know, there's, you know, to really live your best life ever, you really have to think differently. And you have to question boldly. And I was going through some things. I was listening to Jim Rohn, and this was just such a profound statement to me. And it's a real good catalyst to help you create your ideal life and change in the areas that are necessary to do so. And it was this question, because questions are so empowering. You ask yourself, what small thing can I start doing today that will... And then, you know, you could say, you know, what small thing, what easy thing can I do that will greatly change my life, okay, that will help me lose weight, that will help me propel my business forward, that will help me clean out a closet, or, you know, get more clients, or, you know, grow my network marketing business. What am I not doing? What am I not doing that would be easy to do? Isn't that a great little mind juggler thing to do?
That's great. You probably should ask yourself that every single day, so that you're, you know, you have a nice, then after a while you'd be having a nice list of things to work on and or crossing things off the list.
One small thing, one easy thing, you could get right to it. You could get right to it, and then, you
exactly.
know, success totally just breeds success, you know, and it's just
right.
it's a really cool thing. And I mean, it was a really great little mentorship that Jim Rohn was giving. He's a great, he's long since passed, but you know, he was talking about, you know, attitude and activity and action, and he's like, and you've got to plant the seeds, you know, and there's something called faith. You plant the seeds, you don't have to worry about how that tree is going to grow. You know what I'm saying? You did your job. God, God, the universe knows exactly all the DNA in that seed and everything that he needs to do. Now, you may have to help facilitate it and water the seed. You know what I'm saying? you know, you don't want to pull that seed up out of the ground right away. So there's a certain amount of faith and action to help change come, you know. And sometimes change is really, really slow. You know, something else he was saying is take your wisdom, turning wisdom in your attitude, and that invested into action will create a miracle. So if you have wisdom and you've got a good attitude and you take a little bit of courage and you take action, those are kind of the secret tools to success. And I've seen you do that. I mean, you know, you've changed your attitude a lot. You're very brave and bold. You've walked forth with courage, and you've been taking a lot of different actions. So your life has gotten, you know, God, you've been very dynamic over the past year.
I would say so. It's a whole book's worth on just one year, with the prefaces of how I got to this point to be, you know, to be this way. And it's not always, 100% bravery. A lot of it is what I've developed. A lot is faith, that if I just can put one foot in front of the other each day and just do the things on my list that need to be done for that day, especially when you're in, you know, a crisis type of mode, you just have to really break it down to all I have to do today is this. Even if it's simple things on your list, get up and get dressed by 9 o'clock in the morning to be ready for my day. You don't know what your day is going to be. Maybe you got nothing that you even know about. But when you're ready and you make these little strides, because maybe for some people that's really hard to do, just get up out of bed and be ready for your day.
Oh, my gosh. Depression takes people over. They spend days and weeks in bed.
Right. So, I mean, some of it might be getting some medical help or medication. I mean, I'm not against that, or herbal, you know, support from your herbalist and things. I mean, there's assistance, but the physical activity is that if you propel yourself into that direction, then I think that's why I get so many opportunities coming at me all the time, because I am always seeking and looking, and I'm so open. And I'm not afraid to keep moving forward if something isn't serving the whole greater purpose, which I know is not just myself either. So, but it really started when I was having lots of crisis mode, is just making those lists, just a daily list. This is all, you know, and when you would just put like 5 or 6 things on your list and go, gosh, that's all I have to do today is this, then it doesn't seem so overwhelming, and then the rest of the stuff kind of evolves through your day and, you know, sets you up for the next day and so forth. So that's what I've, you know, discovered when you're trying to break out of maybe your routines or your depression, or, you know, just step out of your comfort zone.
Right, right. Now, talk to me a little bit about stepping out of your comfort zone.
I think some of that is just asking yourself if you feel that particular situation is worthwhile. Not whether you can do it or not, or think you can do it or not, just is this activity a worthwhile activity, whether that's monetarily or if you're donating your time, you know, how is that serving? Like I said, I always ask, is it serving me, but is it serving some other purpose as well? Is it helpful in some other way? Or for the greater, bigger picture? I think looking for the bigger picture is helpful, you know, to get over that fear. Because remember, we know fear means false evidence appearing real.
Right. False evidence appearing real. That was definitely Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich.
That word and say, okay, why am I not doing this? Because I have fear. And then you'd be like, but the fear is, it's not, it's an illusion.
Right. Well, fear, but you know what? Let's go back. I'm going to play the devil's advocate, because playing the devil's advocate sometimes makes for a really good conversation.
Yeah.
there is a certain intuitive fear. Example, the other night it was getting way too late. Mark and I were out, and there was a house that we looked at, foreclosure house. I had an indoor pool, and I started like kind of walking around, and he noticed that one of the patio doors to the indoor pool was open. And I was like, oh, it'd be cool to go in there. And Mark's like, how do you, and then we saw lights around in the basement. Well, wait a minute. Uh-oh. The walkout basement. It's like, you know what? There was a fear there that, you know what? You know, maybe it was nothing, but if, you know, there was a fear there that if somebody was in there, you know, they probably wouldn't be real happy that you'd be walking in on their party, you know? So
right, even if they weren't supposed to be there either.
Exactly.
Right. Because, well, fear I think is good in some ways for, you know, protecting yourself, physically protecting yourself. It's good to have fear. Like when I used to go in all those houses and I would call you and make you be on the phone with me because I didn't know what I was going to discover. Maybe just even a wild animal's house or something. You know, so... I mean, so that kind of fear is healthy protection. And I think what we're talking more about is like when you have, make yourself have mental fear about what you can or cannot do.
Right.
Where you're telling yourself stories over and over and over again to the point that you believe them about what you can or can't do. Because really... you can do just about anything you really want to if you could just get over that fear.
You know,
or
here's all a mind game. It's all in the mind. If you think you can, if you think you can't, either way, you're right. And if you believe you can do something, and, I mean, you know, let's be real. We all have our limitations. I really don't believe I could pick my car up, okay?
Right.
I mean, I don't care how much I believed I could pick my car up. I don't think there's possibility in that.
Well.
But, if my kid was over here, it depends on your why, you know?
It depends on your why and your motivation, right. Exactly. Because if your kid was in the car, or the car was going to go over a cliff or whatever tragedy, let's not even say you're a kid, but if a child is in the car and you're the parent and you need to lift that car, move that car or whatever, because it's life or death, the graciousness of how we're built as human beings is the adrenaline will pump enough and you hear enough stories about it that it's not, you know, BS, but all of a sudden you have the strength of Hulk to do whatever it is.
Amazing. No, isn't that amazing? It speaks volumes as to how our Creator designed us. And it also speaks volumes to motivation. And if your why and your motivation is big enough, you can do that too. And that's seeming.
Right. So you can do anything, but it depends on how motivated you are to do it and what's propelling you in that direction.
Right,
that's all.
Right.
So I've pretty much taken the word can't out of my vocabulary. I really ask people to call me out on it if I use that word, because I want to be very conscious of that word, because it's so disempowering. And instead of I can't...
That's really awesome. That's an awesome thing.
Yeah. So that's kind of been a displacement. Yeah. Because it's not that you can't. So be honest about it and just say, I'm choosing not to. Like somebody, you know, says, can you come out to lunch with me? Something benign, you know. You're like, well, no, I really can't, because you start going on the whole excuse line. It's just like, no, the truth is you're choosing not to. So just say that. And then you don't have this big, you know, back and forth nonsense of like, well, but you could do that later in the day, and then, you know, and then you go down this whole, you know, spiral of silliness. Whereas if you just take out the word can't and just put everything you're doing is a choice, you're choosing not to go to lunch that day, or
more empowering.
You know.
So how does one choose to change? What do you think the dynamic of one choosing to change is?
Oh, sometimes you have to be in so much agony. You have to be in so much pain, situation, that you see no other choice but to make some sort of change. And a lot of my changes have been because I've been in the midst of so much pain with the current situation, whether it's mental, physical, monetary, whatever it is, that, you know, you again, your why becomes why? Because I absolutely have to. This is not, I'm not being true to my authentic self of the way I'm living my life at this moment. So I am making a conscious choice to do something different today than I did every other day before that.
So what propelled you, and you don't have to get very personal, but
right.
What was it, pain? Was it mental? What was the biggest thing that propelled you to move to a completely other state?
Asking myself questions about what kind of life I really wanted to have. Really part of it was that I didn't have anything compelling to keep me in the current place that I was at. There was no more job there compelling me to stay. There was no more love interest compelling me to stay. My family and everybody was, you know, farther away. Anyhow, friends were farther away. Anyhow, it was so obvious to me. And I think I had wanted to make that change for a long time. And then it just became apparent that that was the right time.
Okay. So you...
And then things just fell into place. Now, yes, I still had lessons to learn, even though all the pieces of the puzzle fell into place. But it did make, if you think about the transition time, timing of it and what I went to, it was a pretty smooth transition to go into somewhere where I knew the area was safe. I was with other people, not just myself. However, we know how that all turned out. So
right.
At the time, you know, I was in a safe environment, a nice place. It was not going to be financially stressful. And it was just a good landing zone. So that made it so much more comfortable that I was coming into a warm embrace rather than throwing myself out into the middle of the world. Although I was willing to do that, too.
Yeah, you were. You were.
I was
you kind
very
of had
willing.
Same situation, but... You were propelled by, I mean, was there a pain situation for you to make you move, or you suffering any pain, or you just had nothing here to stay here anymore? And besides, it's a lot colder here than where it is where you are.
Well, yeah, I think the main pain was the pain of thinking about spending another winter there, possibly all by myself in a little place. Maybe not even in a safe neighborhood because that's what I would be able to afford. Not being true to myself of the entrepreneurial aspect of what I enjoy doing because I, you know, being the cold nature there, I would have had to, taken some other kind of just job just to get by, which I had done for 3 years previous. I was working a job just to get by because it pleased somebody else. And then it became
right.
part of my life. So, you know, it's like, just follow along. So I think a lot of it was just trying to be true to myself of, you know, what do I really want? And I knew I could come out here and try it. And it's not like somebody said, if you go out there, you can never, ever come back as long as you live, you know?
Right, right.
So I knew that all the possibilities were open, but it was definitely something, you know, that I needed to try. And now in hindsight that I'm in a comfortable spot, in a safe spot, and you know where things are right now is very nice, and I'm really appreciative and enjoying what I have now, especially with the impending winter coming again.
Right, certainly.
It's turning out good. I had a lot of lessons to learn, and maybe it was the turning 50 thing, you know, they say midlife crisis, whatever, you know, I don't know. But there's a lot of those dynamics But the pain was really, the pain of being lonely, being by myself, and being there during the winter.
Friends here that you've had for a long time.
And right, but it's not friends that I see all the time. If it's somebody like, you know, I saw every other day or whatever, everybody's far away and doing the long hauls to people far away in the winter is not very fun either, because
right.
we know how that goes.
Right.
So not having someone close by, and I think a lot of it was the negative situations I was dealing with the current people in my life. I think I just wanted to divorce myself of all that too. Yeah.
Well, change is a good thing. I think the thing is nature shows us by our seasons that there's change. There's always change, and that's kind of like our seasons of our life. Our bodies are always changing. Our cells are constantly dying off and recreating new ones. So, you know, in nature, change is a profound thing, too. And, you just got to just be empowered in those changes. So it's all good. And I think you dropped, Nancy. I don't know why. but anyway, we're not going to change. We're going to be here next Monday, as we are every Monday, at 5 p.m. Central Time. Oh, wait. Are you back? Hold on. I got to get Nancy back here. 5 p.m. Central Time. We have about 2 more minutes left for this show. I think Nancy just came back. Are you back? No. Hold on.
Yeah.
There you
now
go.
I should be back. Yeah. I dared to touch
phone
my phone.
Dropped
to see what time it was. No, I touched it. This is my fault this time, because I'm like, wow, we were really on a really good streak there. It must be just about time. I'm like, or maybe we've gone over if we're not even being recorded anymore.
No, we have 1 minute and 55 seconds, Amy.
All right.
We will be back here next time. It's time to live your best life ever. It's time to think differently and question boldly. And remember, ask yourself, and we should all ask ourselves this every day for great change. What am I not doing that would be easy to do that will greatly change my life? And, you know, if you're greatly changing your life, you're going to change your everything around you. And you can actually be a world changer, too, you know? So
yes, you can.
Change is a good thing. Focus on the positive of change. And, Nancy, any quick words for the day? Because we're going to be winding down here in a minute.
I just say embrace the challenges that are in front of you, because going through them is what makes you better and stronger, wiser on the other end of things.
Yep. And always give value to yourself, because value makes a difference in results. And adding value makes difference in results for others, too, if you add value. So don't be afraid of change, but don't change the channel. You come back here next Monday at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time for Awaken to Empowerment. And this is Carol Ann Parisi signing off. Nancy, you make it an outstanding week, and I'll catch you on the hard line.
Sounds good.
Take care. Bye-bye, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Ciao.
Don't wait. Bye-bye.